Hello and welcome to The Nod, a Mindful Motorcycle podcast. Just a little intro for me again. Hello, listeners. This week, as mentioned last week, is the last episode of season 2, and what a lot of fun we have had. And we are ending on a bit of a high.
I don't want a pickle. Just want to ride on my motorcycle.
Just to set things up a little, Charlie, Ant and I found ourselves at Silverstone, and we caught up with a young man who's doing some great things there. We jumped into the motorhome of one Moto2 title contender, winner of the last Grand Prix, hopefully by the time you listen to this, back-to-back winner and taking the title of Silverstone Moto2 winner, the lovely, the enigmatic, the hilarious Jake Dixon. First, though, we were there under the invite of our friends at Triumph Motorcycles. So a big thank you for them for having us along for the weekend. I was also very fortunate. I kind of wish Charlie and Ant were here to talk about this with me, because Triumph invited me, just little old me, not global adventurer Charlie Borman or host of Goblin Works Anthony Partridge, just little old Ben, to come and ride their new special edition Triumph Street Triple Moto 2 edition around Silverstone track. So that was a bit of fun. And what a track Silverstone is. And I've not been round it much. In fact, I'd only been round half of it, so I didn't actually know my way for the second half, which was interesting. But I'm very keen to get back out there and ride that bike a bit more as well. It was lovely. What little taste I had was tremendous. I think they're all sold out, so this isn't a marketing plan for Triumph. You can't buy them. They've already been all been delivered, the 500 that they made. But yeah, great bike, great looking bike, great sounding bike, great handling bike. Great bike, and thank you to Triumph for having us along for that. One last thing to say before we dive into the show. As ever, a big thank you to our sponsors, the British Motorcycle Insurance Community. It's been great to have them on board this season. We look forward to doing more with them as we plan ahead for season 3. So many more big ideas, but in the meantime, thanks to them, and over to Jake. This week, where are we, Charlie?
We are in Jake Dixon's bedroom in his motorhome.
No, I thought you were going to build that outside. Just start. I thought maybe we'd start. We're at Silverstone at the MotoGP and then laser into the factory.
Funny enough, we're all sat in our boxes. It's all a bit weird.
Yeah,
isn't
it? It's quite sweaty in here as well. So yeah. He's turned up the temperature. I don't know why. But no, we're at the British MotoGP, which is your home track. And so no pressure.
No, it's obviously good, isn't it? We're here at Silverstone and we've had 5 weeks off, so it's been so, so long. It's almost felt like another winter break that we've had, been training a lot, been on holiday, and we're back here at Silverstone. It's actually sunny today. It's meant to rain, I think.
Sunday.
Yeah, come Saturday and Sunday, I think. Yeah. So, typical British.
I mean, interesting you say 5 weeks, because you've had a pretty spectacular beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the 5 weeks comes along, momentum. Is that something important? I mean, you know, as a psychological thing?
No, not really. I think it's one of them. We're so in tune with what we do, and I'm pretty good at getting up to speed straight away. So for me, that's not a sort of something that bothers me. Obviously I would want to keep racing, because having 5 weeks off is never ideal, but it's the same for everyone. And it's going to be a battle of who gets up to speed the quickest and who can put it all together come first race weekend back. So yeah, I'm excited for it.
Are you guys allowed to do any testing in the 5 weeks? You just got to have the 5 weeks.
You are if you've got some days, but we didn't. You're limited to days. I think you get 5 or 6 days or something like that throughout the year. So we're actually limited to days. There's a test after Sunday here on the Monday, but I'm not doing it just because Red Bull IO and Mark VDS aren't doing it. I feel that are the threat for the championship. So if they were to do it, our team said we would do it. Sort of we will go with what they do. So that's sort of where we're at. Yeah, no testing, just riding mini bikes really, because I like to ride my mini bike a lot. Some dirt track and whatnot. So yeah, no, it's pretty good.
I can't bend my knees anymore for mini bikes.
Yeah, you had quite a bad accident. Yeah.
But I mean, everyone sort of knows what's going on at the moment, but when you won, and when it was pretty emotional, it was lovely to see so much emotion happily displayed. People kind of box that in a bit. But you mentioned about coming from sort of humble beginnings, and I'm sure people would love to hear about a little bit about that.
being 27, I feel like I've lived a life of a 50, 60-year-old, you know? I've had so much go on already in my life. But yeah, I started from British Championship. I started at 14, so really late into road racing. As you see all these kids now, like your Pedro Costas, they've been riding, I think, from 4 years old. So I'm already 10 years behind, you know? So then we'd done the British Championship route, and then we came through that sort of route, and I spent time in that. And we came to a world championship, we've never rode Grand Prix tracks, never had rode Grand Prix bikes, so it was a massive shock when coming here, and obviously missed out on the experience of the whole Moto 3 joint. So I feel like I've learnt my years in Moto 2 like people would in Moto 3. So it's only till now I've put everything together, I've got a good team around me, and yeah, it's taken a little bit longer, but for reasons being that I didn't do the younger classes. So yeah, I think I've taken a totally different route. I'm a lad, like I said. I'm a person from Dover. It's not the most glorious of places, but it's where I was born, and mum and dad give me everything. You know, we haven't got a lot of money. They gave everything for me to try and follow my dreams. Oh, I'm starting to be able to repay them back, you know, and it don't stop here. I want to be world champion. I feel like the sky's the limit for me, and I've got such a great support network around me, and my wife, Sarah, we've been through so much together. She had cancer in 2017. We went through all of that. She supported me through injuries. Like, that's why I'm saying I feel like I've lived the life of a 50, 60-year-old, you know, of what goes on, and you couldn't write it. It's been a crazy, crazy journey so far, and I'd like to think that we're going to be writing many more stories to come.
On all of our pods, we love to dive into the human aspect of people. The whole point of the podcast is talk about people. The fact you ride a motorbike is just the entry point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What we want our listeners to do is kind of have some takeaways, some things that they can say, look, well, they've faced adversity. How did they cope with it? What were their tools? What maybe can I take away from this as well to empower them? For you to say, you know, you're a professional motorbike racer, which is a pretty selfish profession, really. There's a lot of pressure on you as an individual.
Massively,
and you've got to be really quite selfish about your training, about riding, traveling the world, all of that. So to have a wife that's going through cancer and still have to be able to perform, how did you get through that? What are the things that you think you do? Do you talk? Is that a big part of it?
Yeah.
And how did you learn to
100%.
Cope?
I think at the time I would have been like 22. So I'm young, and Sarah's 11 years older than me. So we, as a collective, I just remember going in the first time, and I remember feeling a lump, and the dog, funny enough, found it. And we went to see the consultant.
I saw your dog, Charlie.
Yeah, my dog found my cancer.
Did he really?
Well, in a roundabout way.
But, mate, like there's so...
There's on the garden, is that what you said?
Yeah.
The vet was feeling his nuts, you know, checking him out, and he said, one feels a bit funny. And
so
my
thought,
my wife said, one of my husband's testicles feels funny. And she came back, and anyway, that was the beginning of having my testicle lopped off.
But isn't it crazy, right, that such a small animal can... Whether it's like the way you found it or the way that Sarah found it, like
so you're saying your
the dog kept jumping and like pushing on the part she had the lump, and she went, Larry, get off. And as he was pushing, she went, and then felt it. And it was like he was pushing on that part
Her. Oh my gosh. Like, and this is your
little Jack Russell.
Little Jack Russell, yeah. Who's got his own Instagram.
He loves it. Old Larry, he's such a big deal. He's actually around here somewhere.
He's just influencing.
He's doing some deals. Yeah. I don't know what he said to me.
He's down ratting at the moment.
He's a bit of helicopters and everything. He's got all sorts going on. But no, it's a crazy, crazy world. And like I say, going through what we went through with Sarah, it wasn't easy. Don't get me wrong. I was in 2017 going for the championship, 17 and 18 in British Championship, and do you know the one thing I think that got us through us was the racing. And she said to me, look, I don't want this to affect you, and I want you to give me the joy of watching you race and doing the best that you can do. So my motivation was to go out and do well, because I knew that it would make her happy. So yeah, it was super difficult. You know, when you start to see the person that you love so much, hair falling out, and you see her sat there on the sofa having chemo, and then she's falling asleep, and you just think, there's so much more to life than just riding a motorbike. Like, literally, riding a motorbike is nothing. Like, it's bullshit. It's nothing. Like, I am the same as everybody else in life. I shit, I piss, I drink, I eat food. I do everything the same. All I can do is ride a motorbike fast, and I still have the same struggles. Just because we ride motorbikes doesn't mean that our wives don't get cancer, or we don't get hurt, or we can't be injured. You know, like we have the same things that can happen as anybody else in life. And I think too many people take that for granted, and they think they're more above their stations than what they should be, you know, because they feel that they're got a little bit more superior because they're good at something. Well, no, it's bullshit. No one's better than anybody. I think everybody's at an equal playing field, and you should always be humble. You should always be grateful for what you have. And that's really the thing that came out of when Sarah had cancer. It humbled me even more, you know. I felt humbled to have such an amazing wife, and to watch her go through the struggle she went through, but to still support me just shows the individual that she is. And yeah, I would never ever wish it upon anybody. It's the most shittest time.
Well, between us two, we're one ball.
Fuck's sake.
There's only five balls Ben's in this room.
There's only five nuts in this room. Ben's lost both. I've lost one.
Oh, you've lost both?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I have I've got a
sack. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you can pull on it.
I've got a little zip in it.
Barcelona.
you can clip little weights onto it and pull it down. But
it's the one place they don't check you in airport security.
So how did that? So, like, just out of interest, what happened with you on that?
Yeah, I had testicular cancer once when I was 25, and then I got it again three and a half years later. Different type of cancer in my other testicle, so had both of them removed, and yeah, went through the chemo for 4 months.
And so, when was this?
This was 2006 and 2010.
So, and yeah, now everything's all good.
Yeah, well, I won't get testicular cancer again. I've got no bollocks.
Yeah, well,
you never had bollocks anyway.
Yeah,
he was always
didn't have the balls anyway.
They were useless. But I've got two daughters.
Oh, have you? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
One was on one cancerous bollock, which is a miracle. My eldest, she's nearly 13. I've got 3-year-old now that was out of a test tube.
Do you know what? That's the same with Sarah. It's like they told us after she had all the treatment that, well, your chances of having a kid is like next to nothing. And then, funny enough, this year we was born to little Summer. So
bundle of joy.
Yeah. As Dad piping up in the background.
Just in case you didn't know. You guys look remarkably like each other.
Don't tell him that. It'll be made up with life.
There's no telling. You're obviously far better looking than Jerry. I mean,
is that because you two have got the same similar haircuts? Is that what it is?
I've just got a feeling you sort of a bit of man love going on there at the moment.
It must be an age thing.
Probably. Oh, ouch. Yeah, true.
So, Jake, with all of that going on, I know there's huge amounts of pressure, as you said, on riders to perform and to turn up each weekend, to put the time in, to hit the lap times, to get the victories. And often your private life, maybe personal life, isn't of a priority to the team in some respects. Do you feel like that? Have you got a good setup with your team? Do you feel more generally that's an issue? That I know you've spoken about really trying to enjoy yourself and just focus on that and not worry about the pressure.
In Patronus, when I rode for Patronus, I don't care, I won't beat around the bush, it was so shit. The way that it was managed was awful, the way that they treated the riders.
And you were there when they lost the funding, and everything
went to shit. So it looked great from the outside, but on the inside it was turmoil and it wasn't a great atmosphere. But do you know what? I'm so happy with what I have now in Aspar. For the last couple of years, they're so supportive. They give me free range to do pretty much whatever I want to, obviously reason. They're very welcoming to Sarah, all my family, especially Summer. Like, they've taken her in like she's one of them, you know. So I couldn't ask for a better team. They're so humbling. It's such a pleasure, you know. So,
but it's important, isn't it?
Massively.
So if you're feeling comfortable somewhere, then you perform better, don't you?
It's my family from family.
Yeah.
Like, I come here, I've not seen them for 5 weeks. I'm so excited to see them because I've still not seen them. So I'll go see them this morning. And honestly, I'm so excited. It's like I haven't seen my family in 5 weeks. So, I can't wait to get back to work with them. We can take on the world again and get started.
Like that idea of riding a bike, the smile on your face is beaming. But what was it? You know, you said you were 14 when you started riding. What got you into bikes in the first place?
Well, road racing at 14, but I started riding bikes when I was about two and a half, was it? About two and a half.
Pre-2000.
Yeah, so I started riding then around the field, and then we did a bit of motocross, but nothing, I would say, we didn't really have at the time the money to go racing, did we, properly? And I think we did a bit of motocross, and then we did some supermoto, but then we couldn't afford it because it was too expensive. And then lucky we had someone come along that said they'd help us to do road racing, so they bought the bike, and then we started from that, really. And we never really looked back. Yeah, we struggled throughout the times of road racing, and possibly we didn't have the best teams, but I'll always remember a moment. It was going into my third year of road racing. We wanted to go to British Championship, but we couldn't afford it. And there was Sean Rose, who runs Motor Breakers at the time. He's a bit rough and ready, and he'll openly say he is. Don from Doncaster, yeah. But you know what? He gave me the opportunity to platform what I could do in British Championship. And do you know what? I went to the first race on this bike. I tested once and I won my first race by 10 seconds.
And what were you on, sorry?
600, Superstock 600. So I won from that, and it's incredible because he gave me the opportunity from that. And then obviously I went through the classes of being in Supersport, and then Lee Hardy gave me the opportunity in Superbike. So I feel like there's two key parts to the three. Obviously, Dad gave me the opportunity to go and do road racing, but the other two was Sean Rose and Lee Hardy to give me the platforms to be able to show what I can do in first of all, coming to British Championship, and second of all, to get into British Superbike. So there's been them factors, you know. If I didn't have them, I wouldn't be where I am to now. So, and I've got obviously a great manager in Frankie as well, because he got me into GPs. If it wasn't for him, I definitely wouldn't be where I am as well.
Well, people talk very highly about you, and I just bumped into...
Except for Charlie.
I just slag him off.
You can't the whole ride.
Yeah. Funny enough, he's been like trolling me on Instagram. I've set up a fake account.
And all I've been liking is the ones you in your little boxer shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't help myself. Either.
Exactly.
It's just one there for the no. But people talk very highly about you. I almost got in trouble with because I had the wrong pass on today. Of all the people and Dawn, I bump into the girl who does the passes, and she goes, "That's not your pass."
And you say,
And I was like, it's not. And I'm interviewing Dick Dixon, and I had to come in early, and I know you. We spoke about you, and she was very complimentary. She said that you remind her of kind of a young Valentino who has results and then is entertaining and
nice.
Open on.
Yeah, that's
you know,
really nice.
And I think it's a wonderful thing to see, because so many riders.
They don't have
that media savvy.
But the thing is, right, I say it as it is, but obviously I'm not going to be bullshit with it. I speak what I am because I just want to. I want to be me, and I don't want to be a character that I'm not. So I just don't try to be anyone. I just try to be myself. And if you like it, you like it. And there's a lot of people that don't like it, but I am what I am. I can't change it. So. You're not going to be to everyone's cup of tea.
You're not
pretending
to be someone.
No, exactly. And there's no point. Like I said to you, I am no different. I would speak to you lot like I would speak to someone if I was walking around Tesco's and we were just chatting about grocery.
Hopefully you'd be slightly more polite to them than you are.
Yeah, well, there is that, you fucking bunch of arseholes, but we won't talk about that.
Are you in some ways quite competitive? I know Devon Hill very well, and whenever we do anything, if we're in a shop or if we're going through a doorway, I think without him even realising, he sort of slips in front and somehow has to be first.
So maybe something like that. No, not so much, but I think... Maybe it's that problem. Is it's probably that way. That way.
That motherfucker's gonna come over here.
Yeah, look, we're all gonna get stung up here. Let's put it to Charlie's way so he can get stung.
I'll grab it.
The Nod is proudly supported by the British Motorcycle Insurance Company, a new digital-first insurance platform built for the good of the rider community. Sign up as a rider to join their waiting list, or register your interest as a community partner. On the website, thebmic.co.uk. This is insurance powered by the people. It is insurance for riders built on community. Insurance is the ultimate grudge purchase. The British Motorcycle Insurance Company wants to filter out the things that slow riders down so you can focus on what you love. Community-based, transparent and digital, the next generation of motorcycle insurance. Do you have a bike license?
No.
Have you ever ridden on the road?
Illegally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Illegally when I was 14, funny enough, when me and Dad says, look, we shouldn't be doing this, but, because Dad had a bike shop, we shouldn't
start
be doing
this. Start of any great story.
We were out on a KDX 200s, weren't we? You had two of them.
Yeah. Weeks ago, green laning together.
Yeah, and it was just funny. We went out on them and, yeah. No, illegally I've done it, yeah.
Outside of, like, racing and being in your helmet on the track, where else do you like to be? You know what I mean? If you're just riding for fun.
Bike. I love riding my mini bike. Like, literally, I love doing that. But do you know what? I love Formula One a lot. Like, people slate Formula One. Yeah, the racing can be boring, etc. Yeah, but I like the strategy behind it. I like all the things that go on in it. I don't know. I like anything competitive. I love UFC.
Yeah.
Like, last night, I had to go to an event in London for TNT because they've switched over now, haven't they?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I was, like, mesmerised by Meatball Molly, who's, like, a UFC fighter. And I was, like, almost like she could punch my head in right now. But I'm, like, because I watch her and I watch her YouTube stuff with Paddy the Baddie, it's, like, I'm so into it. There's a footballer there. And I said to her when we sat on the stage and he's over there, I went, who is he? And she went, I can't remember his name. But I says, I don't know who he is, because I'm not into football, you know. So, but then I looked him up. He's got 1.5 million followers, and I'm like, yeah, well,
could have got a tag.
Yeah, nothing really,
yeah,
is
he's
it?
Got followers, yeah.
Probably bought them all.
Yeah, just messaged him after, like, yeah, great to see you, mate. A massive supporter of you, you know. Yeah, really into football.
Tag.
Yeah.
Do you want some tickets for Sunday?
Yeah.
So, a lot of people we interview, they ride on the road, and they're not professional racers, right? And
speak for yourself.
Well, could have been, should have been, maybe. I'm going round later on the new Triumph, so I'll see how that goes down.
You want to see a great crash down
the road? Yeah,
get a good view of the track.
Literally send it down the road like I normally do. But a lot of people, you know, we all ride bikes on the road because it's freedom and it's mindfulness. But you don't necessarily have that because you're competing most of it. So, what is that? Why do you race?
Because it's a rush, isn't it? It's that feeling of we wake up race day and you're shitting yourself, for one. You're thinking, why am I doing this? You don't know if you like it or not enjoy the feeling, but afterwards you realise you finished and you get that buzz of, say, like, when I won. It doesn't even come close to anything I've ever experienced, you know. It's such a high. And
other than the birth of your child, wedding day, just make sure you're there.
No, but that's a different sort of feeling to what you have towards a race win, because that's a forever thing, you know, when you've got a family and stuff like that. But the thing with racing is it's in that moment, in that 5 minutes of what you have to yourself after you've crossed the line, is you'll never get anywhere else in life. And yeah, it can be shit at times, but it can be great also. So,
but I suppose it's the emotion of your whole
everything. It's the build up of everything, the training, the hard work, the things, the hours of people don't see. Yeah, exactly, exactly. But people don't see the full extent of the hard work that goes on. So, it meant so much to me doing it. But also, like, I would love to go to America. One of my dreams is go to America and ride part of Route 66 on Harley Davidsons.
Yeah, that's good fun there.
Like, actually, I really want to do that. So I will need to get a bike license unless I just try
a lot of straight roads.
Yeah, but just to say I've done it.
I rode PCH1 from LA to San Fran on a Harley, and I was like, it's just box ticked, isn't it? Yeah.
Like,
I've done
it now.
I don't know.
There was
something about sitting on a Harley Davidson
in America.
And I went down the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. And
well, you've done a lot of
cool.
riding, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've seen your riding, funny enough.
Yes. Well, I've been watching you and I've got a few tips that I'll give you.
I fucking wouldn't take no tips from me. Yeah.
he can tell you how to split a Triumph in half.
Yeah?
Yeah. On a press launch.
Anyway, well,
we anyway, on another note.
Another note.
Ask him how his new Ducati is.
Oh, yeah.
Not good.
No, I wrote it off the other day. But
it's not going too well, is it?
No, well...
How many bikes do we have to take on this? Is it long way up?
Yeah. Well, no, on the long ways, I've not lost a bike. Yeah. So that's the... Ewan's the one who falls off most of the time.
Is he?
So, well, he's not here to defend himself. So,
so you can just...
I can just chuck him on the floor. But when you're outside of the circus here and you come home, I'm guessing that's your... I mean, because does your bike follow you on all of your...
Yeah, majority of them. Now, even summer. So summer, when she was born, 3.5 weeks later, she was in the first race with us.
Wow.
In her F.
Wow.
So, like, Sarah just had a C-section as well. Like, people are going, you are mental. So, but that's Sarah, isn't it? Sarah's a doer. Like, she just gets on with life.
But if she's surrounded by racers, you know, you guys are ridiculous.
How did you guys...
I met Sarah because Sarah, her and her dad ran the Pirelli service at BSB. Uh-huh. So they had the contract for that. And I met Sarah, I was pestering her. And at the time, I was obviously a little bit too young, so it was a bit noncy, wasn't it? Like, if you... if it was, like, when I'm 14 years old, it's all a bit weird, isn't it? But later on, when I was...
Persistence paid off.
19, you know, she likes them young.
Trader snatcher.
Yeah, exactly. But we just used to joke about
it. You needed the tyres.
Yeah, I needed the tyres.
Yeah, no, I'll get cheap tyres.
Yeah, exactly. Dad was thinking, go on, Jake, go on.
Go on, take her out.
Yeah.
He used a car to me and go, Bernard Granny's lovely. I went,
have
a word, Jake.
Have a word? No, you didn't. Stop lying.
Have
a
word, she's more my age.
But no.
Tell me, you said I'm going to marry that girl.
Yeah, I knew. You know when you just had, I don't know, I just had a weird feel. I had a weird connection with her. Like, really weird. And, yeah. We got together in 2015 and we've never looked back. We've been together 8 years, been married since 2018. She's the bundle of joy of my life. So, yeah, I couldn't ask for a better person to not just support me in life, but just everything, to be the mother to our daughter, everything. She is everything.
So what, like, your personality and kind of you coming up, if you were single right now, what do you think your life would be?
If I out of control, mate, I wouldn't be where I am. Would I, fuck? Sarah controls the beast, mate, within. I'm hyperactive at the best of times. If I had no one telling me, no, that's very rash, Jake, don't do that, I'd be making the wrong decisions. She tells me, like, that's definitely not what we should be doing right now.
Do you see that in the paddock as well? Is that, do you...
Yeah, there's, do you know what? The paddock is so old school. It's not so much now, it's getting better, but it has been so old school. Like, you couldn't have a wife, you couldn't have a kid, blah, 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 blah. That, like, your age, all these different things. But everything's changing now. Bautista's 38. And going to be 39 and he's winning world championships in world superbikes. Valentino was 42. Yeah. People are now realising you can go later on into your career and still be just as fast.
Well, it's that experience as
isn't
exactly.
It? Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's not age dependent.
People forget that.
It's kind of you're sitting at 38.
No, he's got World Cup. Japan, yeah. But it's all on how hungry you are at the time to how much you want to risk it, ultimately, because it's a risk-reward sport. So... I think the sport is changing, people are having kids, people are relaxing a lot more and people are being more accepted for it, and I think that's such a great thing, you know. So you're seeing a lot more prams around the paddock now, which is a good thing.
Yeah, good thing, yeah.
Yeah. I really like it because then it makes it more family, you know. Like, it's a massive, it's dangerous what we do.
Yeah.
Fuck, so just enjoy it. Go out, have fun, and it's a risky, risky business and it can change it at a heartbeat, so why not enjoy it whilst we're all doing it, and hopefully everyone's safe in the meantime, you know.
And how's your fitness at the moment? Are you
damn sight better than yours by the looks of it? No, it's good. I've trained hard in these 5 weeks. I'm always on top of the fitness is something that's never really in doubt. It's more getting my mind in check and keeping being on top of that, because I have personality then my mind wanders. I have self-doubt. And if I can always limit the self-doubt, I know I'll be fast. So I always just try to contain that, and I'm always smashing down barriers of goals that I want to hit, you know. So Sarah helps me with that. She's great. Like, she's...
And is she good with the, you know, when you're feeling stressed or...
Yes, massively. Talk to me. She'll say, talk to me, offload what you're thinking, because she says always offloading. If you offload, then you feel instantly better about life, don't you? About anything, not just racing, but anything. If you talk to someone, you feel instantly better. So she's great with that. She understands that side of the brain and everything, but she's done so much research on all of that that she knows sort of what to do and what not to do. And instantly, she'll tell me when I need to get real at times as well. I remember in Japan last year, she said to me, I was 1 second off in free practice because we only had one free practice because it had been horrendous weather. And I was 1 second off and I was really bad. And I left the Friday and I'm like, well, weekend's done, innit? She says to me, if you do not sort your shit out now, your weekend's done. You might as well just go. And she says, so if you don't sort it out now, it's fucked. So you have one or two options. You can make the difference. You can change it to what you want at the end result in this. And yeah, I went out and I went second in qualifying and then fourth in the race. Fourth in the race. So turned it around.
Well, you have to see that vision, don't you?
Yeah.
Lots of people talk about, you know, like the simple thing, if you're driving or into town, if you imagine there's a parking space, often the parking space turns up.
100%. But you know what, when you're driving, you're in a rush somewhere and it seems to be just traffic, you go, fucking hell, so traffic, I'm going to be late. Becomes more, it's worse and worse, isn't it? The more and more stressed you get with something.
It's like you wake up and stub your toe. You have a shit day. Lose your shit, you have a terrible day.
Because if you accept it is what it is, well, you can't change it. You can't change the outcome. And I read a good quote the other day and it said something like, the past is the past and the future you can't control, so why not just live for the now?
The present.
And that's so true, isn't it? You can't control what's going to come and you can't control what's been. Yeah,
it is very true. And it's with big traumas or big moments in your life that can be changing if you let that trauma or whatever it is
100%
define you, then you can't move on, can you?
Exactly. So you always need to, whoever you are, whatever your problem is, always try to break down your own barrier and try to just be a better version of yourself day by day. And it doesn't come easy and it's hard work, but if you're willing to learn and you're willing to be open, because the main thing is if you're open in life, you will tend to want to get better day by day. But if you're stubborn and you're thinking it's not me and you think that it's always somebody else, you're never going to learn. So you always got to be open to it and you will break down your demons.
And also, you like, for yourself, you know you've got the skill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got these tools that you use all the time. You know, and you know you can do it.
Yeah.
So if you get in your own head and think, okay, this is shit, the weekend's fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, you kind of have to step back out of it and go, hold on a minute. I've been here before. I've done this before.
And that's you know what I mean? That's
and have
your
to,
missus.
Like, mentally, mentally unpack it. To
100%.
Kind of...
And so many times throughout a weekend, right, you could have a bad Friday. It doesn't mean that you're not going to win on Sunday. It just means that you need to understand what the situation is in that moment in time, because, like I say, you've won before or you've been on the podium before, so you've got all the credentials to do it. It's just a matter of figuring it all out. And don't get me wrong, we all have bad Fridays. We all have bad Saturdays. Or it's just a matter of you've got to clear your mind session by session. Right, say you're fastest in FP1. Right, great, but clear your mind for the next one because it's a new session again and it's new conditions, it's new everything. So, or if you're 10th in the first one, clear your mind, we'll go again, we reset, we go again. Each time you need a reset. And I think that's what's really opened my mind to being better and better each time, is just having a reset and focusing it session by session, even lap by lap. A lap, so much happens in a lap. So instead of being frustrated if it's not going right in the lap, well, take a minute, take a breath.
Yeah.
We've got 40 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to pull it together at some stage.
Yeah, so just relax. You've just got to be calm in the moment and try to figure it all out, you know?
And how is that mindset and approach working with a newborn baby?
Yeah, good.
Because you haven't got that knowledge bank to rely on, but do you?
Obviously,
And it has lots of big challenges,
it's
right?
It's fucking hard
work. The hardest job you'll ever do.
I said to Sarah, like, I'm lucky because I've got, like I said, such an amazing wife that she looks after the little one at nights because I do training, etc. But I said I'd have her one night, but I literally got halfway through the night and she wasn't settling And I because I haven't been doing it, I couldn't. I was so tired. And I picked her up and I said, Sarah, you're going to have her. I walked back into the room and I said, Sarah, you're going to have her. But she just took her and I watched her. She took her. She was half asleep still. So took her, put her down, did like rubbing her belly, fell asleep. It's all because I was too pumped up.
Yeah.
And the baby can feel it. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
For sure.
So
for sure.
That's something in life that I can learn again, that no matter, like I said, no matter what we do, is always a lesson to be learned. And fuck, it's hard. It's hard, hard work. But then it's so amazing at the same time. She sat here this morning. She's giggling her head off. Like, she isn't a bad baby, is she? She's so good. Like, she doesn't do anything bad. So
no, they're lovely. I mean, they're wonderful. And until they become teenagers and then...
Yeah, I want money. And,
I mean, mine are 26 and 27 now. And they just ring up and I go, oh, what do you want?
Yeah. Is that stage? Yeah.
No, I don't want anything, Daddy. I wanted to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Dad's here again.
Yeah.
Are you done your paving yet, mate? Are you on the patios, Dad?
Actually, I've got some holes in my driveway. Have you got a card?
Listen, life is all about learning and not just racing. You've got to try and take it day by day.
Bike racers don't understand that. I think that's why he's been so successful, because he's understood it, learned.
You've got to, haven't you? You've got to.
They just don't, like the BSB, some of the young riders in that.
You can see the riders that are in their heads, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they've got the skill, they've been there before, they've won, they've been on the podium, and then all of a sudden they just shit the bed mentally.
Yeah.
And they fall off. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you can see their kind of mental breakdown. In Formula One, I think you can see it even more. There's more money and more kind of, economical pressure
when you go up into MotoGP, then there's another level of pressure.
But it's good pressure.
But that's what you want.
Do you know
that's your
bad
job.
Pressure is? Bad pressure is when you're not doing well and you're struggling to get a ride.
Mm.
That's hard. That's hard pressure.
Yeah.
Like at the minute, we're negotiating for next year, but I'm lucky enough that a lot of teams are interested, and that's good pressure.
So, have you got anything to tell us?
No,
exclusive.
I've got nothing yet, but Frankie's working hard for
it. Is there a move up
hope there is, but it's looking hard for that. But even if it isn't, I would love to stay in Moto2 because I feel World Superbikes at the minute is not where I want to be going. I've had interest there, which is nice, obviously, but I feel Moto2 is still... It's still such a great class, you know. There's so much publicity from that class, and you're riding with the best riders in the world.
Like, well, you worked so hard to get there as well, because you, as you said before,
and to give it up
you've
now,
you've missed that Moto3, haven't you? So it's only last year and this year where you're really getting that momentum.
And to give it up now, like, say I didn't get MotoGP for next year, I can still potentially win the championship this year. So can you imagine, right, to be the first ever Brit to win the world championship in Moto2? This year and next year.
That'd
like
be cool.
To be like, how amazing would that be? And you've always got to see positives like that as well. And yes, it's going to be hard work. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I always dream that I can do it. And if I feel like if you can dream it, it can definitely be done into reality. So,
well, here you are.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
With podiums and wins.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. No. It's great. I mean, sat here with you guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So.
This really is. Made it onto the nod.
Exactly.
You can retire.
You made it onto the nod pod, but I'm very conscious
of your
time, Jake.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
But
and
I have to say, I'm a big fan, and I was very excited.
No, I'm a fan. Along. I watch your stuff as well.
Don't. He doesn't need it.
But honestly, it's funny, isn't it? Because
yeah, but he wasn't even born when we first started doing it.
Yeah, so. But I watched the latest one, so it was the
electric one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And honestly, I watched it, loved it, and yeah, I think
thought it's, Ewan it's, was great.
Ewan
and Thingy.
Yeah, Ewan and other guy.
Another guy.
Yeah.
I think if you look up Ewan and Thingy on the internet, there's this comedian did this brutal.
Oh really?
This brutal kick comedy thing.
Teared
on us.
You a new
oh
one.
My god, they really teared it. It was. I can barely watch it. It was so brutal.
Oh really?
I gotta find this.
Brilliant.
I had no idea it was out. I
gotta
play it every
Thingy.
Day.
Oh,
literally
Thingy.
Googling right now.
but it's good though, isn't it? I love what you did, and it's amazing to do that sort of stuff as well. And I'm a fan.
Oh, but listen, I mean,
bikes are cool, aren't they?
They are, aren't they?
And this is what, in the room. You know what I mean?
No, but that's where you can cross like cross platforms and enjoy other people's successes as well. And it's nice, isn't it?
What I love about the motorcycling community, it kind of, no matter where you go, you always sort of tend to sort of sniff out another biker. Or you're always surprised when you meet someone and they say, oh, I ride bikes as well. And you never thought that they would have, but they do. Yeah. And suddenly you have this whole, I've done it before where I've been to, when I go to LA or a city that I don't know very well, it's suddenly you meet someone who rides a motorbike and then you go ride with them and then suddenly you've met a whole lot of other people and they're all like-minded.
So it's
cool. But anyway, but listen, good luck with your home race today.
Cheers, thank you. I'll definitely try. And that is
Just quickly, how's that feel? You know, obviously being a home race, do you feel there's extra pressure? Or
do you just take it as
normal?
It is what it is, because at the end of the day, right, I want to win. Don't get me wrong, but it's the big picture that we're looking for at the end of the year is to win the championship. So if I'm on it and I'm feeling good and I'm in for a chance of winning, I'm obviously going to go for it. But who's to say? There's many things that can happen throughout the weekend. You need to be concentrated. You need to work hard. And listen, if I work hard and I work well with the team, there's no reason why we can't win this weekend. So we're definitely trying. I don't feel there's any more added pressure than what I already put on myself. So.
You get a lot of mates wanting to come to the race.
Yeah, do you know what? It's a pain in the ass because we don't get many passes. So I'm lucky enough that the people that do Silverstone boxes, they help me out. They give me a box for the weekend. So big shout out to them. And I stick all my sponsors and all my friends in the box through Brooklyn. So.
Oh, Brooklyn, yeah. No, it's so, nice place to watch.
Yeah, so I'm lucky to have that. And yeah, I think it's a good weekend, isn't it? When you have your family here, it's great. Like, it's Dad comes to probably one or two a year, you know, so it's nice to have him here. No, it's not a matter of won't let you come. It's just a matter of it's...
Oh, so hold on, let me just get the little tiny violin out for him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't find it. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'm glad you said it. Yeah.
But on that note...
On that note, thank you very much.
Yeah, Jake, thank you. Good luck for the weekend, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Knot, a mindful motorcycle podcast. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Jake. He comes across as such a lovely fella. We had such a laugh doing that episode with him, and I'm just super thankful for the amount of time he gave us on a Grand Prix weekend to sit down and get through so much content, fascinating stuff, and all power to him. Let's hope he's the next Moto2 champion and then stepping up into the premier class. But big thanks to Jake. And that's it. Thank you from Charlie, from Ant and myself. It's been an absolute joy putting together this season. We know, again, from the feedback we've been getting from all of you lovely listeners, that you're enjoying it and taking some stuff away from it. And that makes us supremely proud of what we're doing. And as you can hear, we have a lot of fun doing it and take a lot of pleasure out of putting the show together. Big thanks to our producer Rick from Podcast Pioneers and Catherine for all of their support in getting this put together and all of the editing and just making sure Ant's stories are cut off before they get too dull, and just for highlighting all of Charlie's wonderful Dakar experience. I'm just here trying to pull it all together. Anyway, that's it for season 2. We'll be back after a summer break. Stay tuned on the Instagram at The Knob Pod. Give us a follow. Keep giving us the feedback. All the messages are read. Apologies, I haven't responded to them all, but I will do that during my holiday that I'm about to take. So until next season, have a great summer. Thanks for listening. And do check in with a mate.